Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Monster Blood 2 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. First off, I have to give a big thank you again to Lucas Lady, who donated $50, which was cool as fuck, and he got to pick this book because he gave me a bunch of money, and that's cool as hell, and fuck yeah. So thank you very much. And then the second huge thank you to Kyle Stanley, who drew the new logo out of the blue. He just kind of hit me up on the Dune Reads Goosebumps Facebook page and was like, I'm going to draw you. And I'm like, fuck yeah, you are. And he drew it, and it's amazing. You can see it at the, it should be the picture in iTunes or wherever you listen to this, or it's the new, I was about to say buddy icon. Is that from AIM? Anyway, it's the new default picture. Profile picture? Whatever. From the Facebook page. And, I'm about to dive into Monster Blood 2. That's the one with the hamster on the cover that's, like, exploding out of a cage with a ooze. Or not ooze, it's Monster Blood, obviously. And the tagline is, he's one hungry hamster! You're not even trying, are you, RL? He's one hungry hamster. Anyway, I'm Dune. Here we go. Let's dive into this bitch. Ooh, reading real books. Went to the swap meet and bought like 20 Goosebumps books on Sunday. Aw, you. Chapter 1. Evan Ross backed into the corner of the den as he stared at his dog, Trigger. The tan cocker spaniel lowered his head and stared back at Evan with wet, brown eyes.
I hope he wasn't looking at his wet, brown eye like the dog had diarrhea.
The old dog's tail began to wag excitedly. Trigger! Evan cried angrily. Did you eat the monster blood again? The dog's tail began wagging faster. Trigger let out a low bark that rumbled like thunder. Evan's back pressed against the dark paneled den wall. Trigger took a few heavy steps toward him, panting hard, his huge pink tongue, his red, red rocket, as big as salami.
Wow, it actually says as big as salami, but it didn't say the red rocket thing, but the point is, dear God, that was a horrible line after my little improvisation.
As big as salami hung out of his enormous mouth. Did you? Evan demanded. Did you eat more monster blood? The answer to Evan's question was obvious. Trigger had been normal cocker spaniel size that morning. Now, the dog stared down at Evan, as big as a pony.
For anyone who hasn't seen a pony before, it's like, I don't know, like 4 feet off the ground. Right, Frank? Franklin, how big's a pony?
Nah, you don't know shit.
Trigger's furry paws, the size of elephant hooves, thudded on the den carpet. His enormous tail pounded louder than a bass drum against the side of a leather couch. Evan covered his ears as Trigger let out an excited, high-pitched bark that shook the den walls. Stay.
Stay, I said to Franklin as he was just attacking the cat, but that's also what Evan shouted.
The enormous dog panted hard, his tail wagging furiously. Oh, no, Evan thought in horror. He wants to play. Sit, Evan screamed. Sit.
Sorry, Franklin.
But Trigger didn't know how to sit for 10 years, 70 dog years. Evan had tried to teach Trigger to sit on command, but Trigger was dumb as shit. Where did you find the monster blood? Evan demanded. We all saw it disappear into thin air. Gone. Wham, bam, floozle, gone. It was just gone, you know. That stuff makes you grow, and grow, and grow, and grow. Where did you find it? Trigger tilted his big head at an angle, as if trying to understand Evan's words. Then, wagging his huge tail excitedly, he started to run to Evan. No, Evan thought. He's going to jump on me. He's going to jump. If he jumps, he'll crush me. An enormous glob of skeet escaped from Trigger's open mouth and hit the carpet with a loud smack.
Oh, I regret hitting myself.
Sit, Evan cried, his voice choked with panic. Sit, boy, sit. Trigger hesitated, staring down at Evan. To Evan's horror, the dog was growing even bigger. Trigger was now as tall as a horse.
Horses are bigger than ponies. Just letting you know, that's why the hobbits took Bill the Pony. Because Bill the Pony was, you know, Yeah, different size. Where did he find the container of monster blood? Trademark. Evan wondered, his back pressed against the wall. Where? The dog's brown eyes gaped at Evan like shimmering dark pools. Trigger uttered another deafening bark that shook the whole goddamn house. Yuck! Evan cried, squeezing his nose with two fingers. The dog's breath rushed at him like a strong wind, and it smelled as sour as a dead mouse. Ugh. I like that he says dead mouse so specifically. How come I can read this with no problem and just can't speak on my own? But he's assuming that a lot of people have smelled that, and it's gross. And I did smell it when I lived at my old place, when I'd record these and there'd be fucking mice running around and cockroaches. Ugh. Back. Get back, Trigger, Evan pleaded, but Trigger had never learned that command either. Without warning, the giant dog leaped at Evan. Down, down, Evan shrieked. Trigger's mouth gaped open. The dog's huge tongue licked the side of Evan's face. The tongue felt scratchy and hot. Evan's carrot-colored hair was matted down with sticky dog saliva, a la something about Mary. No, please, Evan screamed. I'm only 12. I'm too young to die. He started to scream again, but Trigger's big teeth clamped around his wrist, cutting off his breath. Also on his waist, not his wrist. That's why it's cutting off the breath. You know, just letting you know. Trigger, put me down, put me down! Evan choked out. The dog's wagging tail sent a lamp crashing to the floor. R.L. Stein was quickly sued by Clifford the Big Red Dog. Well, probably the writer. And probably not the writer, but his attorney, who was ironically also named Stein. The teeth held Evan gently, but firmly. He felt himself being lifted off the floor. Put me down, jabroni! Why wouldn't the stupid dog listen? Evan thrashed his arms and legs, frantically trying to squirm free, but Trigger held on tightly. The dog's enormous paws pounded on the carpet. He carried Evan through the hall and across the kitchen. Then he lowered his head and butted the kitchen screen open. The door slammed hard behind them. Trigger began trotting all over the grass. Bad dog. Bad dog. Good dog, Franklin. I love you. You're very good looking. Evan cried, and then Dune kind of muttered like a pussy. His voice came out in a tiny squeak. Had Trigger grown even bigger? Ooh, it's rhyming. Evan was at least 3 feet off the ground now, and Trigger was the size of a cow. Just kidding, I added that to make it rhyme, because I thought that was good. Put me down, down, he cried. Okay, I'll let you down, Trigger lied. I'm just gonna keep making it rhyme. Evan watched the green grass of the backyard bounce beneath him. Trigger was panting as he walked. The panting sound made Evan's whole body vibrate. He realized his jeans and t-shirt were soaked from dog saliva. Trigger doesn't mean to hurt me, Evan told himself. He's just being playful. Thank goodness he's such an old dog. For half a second, I thought it said, thank goddess he's such an old dog. And I was like, he's like one of those weird feminist vegan types. But it said goodness. His teeth aren't very sharp. The dog stopped at the edge of the flower garden in the backyard. He lowered Evan nearly to the ground, but didn't let go. His paws began to churn up the soft dirt. Let me down! Evan shrieked. Trigger, listen to me! Breathing hard, his hot, sour breath pouring over Evan, the big dog continued to dig. A wave of horror swept over Evan as he realized that Trigger was doing. No! No, Franklin! Franklin's chasing Yoda. Have I talked about Yoda on here? Yoda is, My girlfriend lives with me now, and her cat does as well, and her cat is one of those hairless sphinx cats, who's weighs as much as Franklin. He's as big. He just fights with my cat all day, or plays. They like each other. But Franklin's just attacking him. It's cute. The dog dug faster, its front paws churning furiously. The soft dirt flew past Evan's face. I'm not a bone! Evan cried frantically. Trigger, I'm not a bone! Don't bury me, Trigger! Please, don't bury me! So before I get into chapter 2, I just wanted to tell you why it was a bigger break after that. So, actually 3 weeks ago today, on this very night. No, 3 weeks ago today, I got a migraine. This is horrible. And then it was terrible, and I finally was able to, like, pass out with the pain. And then woke up the next day, went to work, head started to hurt really bad, got a terrible migraine. And this happened every single day around 3 or 4. I'd just start getting a horrible migraine and couldn't do anything about it. So after 5 days of this, I went to urgent care, and they're like, hey, here's some medicine you're going to start taking. And for when the actual migraine comes on, we're going to try to break the cycle. Stuff's called Imitrex, right? So that night, I like had a migraine, but the medicine helps like crazy. So that was good. And then, except for I kept getting them. So I went to another doctor and was prescribed this stuff where it's like a medicine that stopping migraines is like 8 things down on what it does. Like before that is like antidepressant, anxiety, irritable bowel syndrome, like nervousness. It's all sorts of strange shit. But anyway, it stops the migraines. So I started taking that, but it took a whole week to kick in. So it was literally every night for 2 weeks having a migraine and taking medicine. And then slowly it turned into just getting headaches and needing to take the medicine. Then as of Sunday night, it's Tuesday now, it was the first night I didn't have any sort of headache. So now I don't know what's going on. Oh, I forgot to say the other big thing. So I was freaking out because I was still getting them while I was taking the medicine. And they're like, okay, well, it's either a migraine disorder or you need to go get a CAT scan because it might be a brain tumor. So I was freaking the fuck out because I was still having migraines and I had to go get a CAT scan, which is expensive as fuck, despite the fact that I have insurance. So I'm broke as shit. But yeah, so point is, I don't have a brain tumor and I have a migraine disorder, I guess. But I used to get migraines maybe once every year and a half, and now it was every single day, and it probably still would be if I didn't take medicine, which is just fucked up and weird. I'm sorry to ramble about my life, but it's just been fucking miserable. Chapter number 2, motherfucker, yeah. Don't bury me, please don't bury me, Evan murmured. He heard laughter. He raised his head and glanced around and realized that he wasn't home in his backyard. He was sitting in his assigned seat in the third row near the window in Mr. Murphy's science class. Mr. Murphy was standing right at Evan's side, his enormous round body blocking the sunlight from the window. Earth calling, Evan, Earth calling, Evan. Wait. I feel like this Mr. Murphy is about to get in a horrible, horrible gasoline fight accident and go up in flames while drinking orange macchiatos? Orange? Whatever. Mr. Murphy called, cupping his chubby pink hands over his fat fucking stupid mouth to make a megaphone. The kids all laughed. Evan could feel his face growing hot. Sorry, he stammered. You seem to have been somewhere in daydream land, Mr. Murphy said, his tiny black eyes twinkling merrily. Teachers suck. I know I have friends now that are teachers, because I'm fucking old. I'm obviously not a teacher. I'm just getting drunk and reading Goosebumps. But seriously, I don't like teachers. I don't like the concept of people that have never been in the private sector and just go to all their years of schooling, then go to college, then go back into classrooms. They don't have any idea how the fuck life works and how shit like that exists. And I also don't like the, it's like a small level narcissism of, hey, what's your goal? To just be the one person in the class of 30 people that everyone's looking at? Like, that's it? Like, really? You can't shoot bigger than that? Or, no? Or maybe think of a world outside the classroom while daydreaming? No. You just want to be the asshole that everyone stares at and pays attention to. Yeah. I'm 27 and I fucking hate teachers. What the fuck is that? What kind of petty bullshit is that? Yes, Evan replied solemnly. I was dreaming about monster blood. I can't stop thinking about it. Ever since his frightening adventure the past summer with the green, sticky stuff, Evan had been dreaming and daydreaming about it. I used to do green, sticky stuff that made me daydream, but now I don't. I really only did when I was like 14. I don't like weed. Evan, please, Mr. Murphy said softly. He shook his round, pink head and made a tsk-tsk-tsk sound. Monster blood is real, Evan blurted out angrily. The kids laughed again. Mr. Murphy's expression grew stern, his tiny eyes locked onto Evan's. Evan, I am a science teacher, which means my life did not go how I planned. You don't expect a science teacher to believe that you found a can of sticky green gunk in a toy store that makes things grow and grow. Yes, I do, Evan insisted. Maybe a science fiction teacher would believe it, Mr. Murphy replied, like a smug asshole, grinning at his own stupid-ass joke. Not a science teacher. Well, you're dumb, Evan cried. I like Evan now. He didn't mean to say it. He knew immediately that he had just made a major mistake. He heard gasps all around the big classroom. Mr. Murphy's pink face darkened until it looked like a red balloon. Imagine if there were 99 new red balloons. Sick of me hunting a winner. But he didn't lose his temper. He clasped his chubby hands over the big stomach of his green sports shirt, and Evan could see him silently counting to 10. Evan, you're a new student here. Isn't that right? He said finally, his face slowly returning to its normal pink color. Yes, Evan replied, his voice just above a whisper. My family just moved from Hotlanta this fall. Well, perhaps you're not familiar with the way things work here. Perhaps at your old school, the teachers liked it when you called them dumb. Perhaps you called your teachers ugly names all day. Perhaps, no, Evan interrupted, lowering his head. It just slipped out. Laughter rang through the classroom. Mr. Murphy glared sternly at Evan, his face twisted in an angry frown. Give me a break, Evan thought unhappily, glancing quickly around the room. Evan saw a sea of grinning faces. I think I'm in trouble again, Evan said, thought glumly. Why can't I keep my big, stupid mouth shut? Mr. Murphy glanced up at the wall clock. School is nearly over, he said. Why don't you do us a little favor, Evan, to make up for the time you wasted, made us waste today? Uh-oh, Evan thought darkly. Here it comes. When the bell rings, go put your books away in your locker, Mr. Murphy insisted. Then come back here and clean Cuddle's cage. Evan groaned. His eyes darted to the hamster cage against the wall. Cuddles was scratching around in the wood shavings on the cage floor. Not the hamster, he thought unhappily. Evan hated Cuddles. Just like you, Scarlet, you hate Cuddles. And Mr. Murphy knew it. This was the third time Mr. Murphy had made Evan stay after school and clean out the gross, shit-infested, disgusting cage. Perhaps while you clean the hamster cage, Mr. Murphy said, returning to his desk, you can think about how to do better in science class, Evan. Evan jumped to his feet. I won't do it, he cried. He heard shocked gasps all around him. I hate Cuddles, Evan screamed. I hate that stupid fat motherfucking hamster. As everyone stared in amazed horror, Evan ran over to the cage, pulled open the door, and grabbed Cuddles up in one hand. Then, with an easy, graceful motion, he flung the hamster across the room and out the open window.
Chapter 3, baby, yeah, it's chapter 3.
Evan knew he was having another daydream. He didn't jump up screaming and throw the hamster out the window. He only thought about it. Everyone thinks about doing crazy, wild things every once in a while. But Evan would never do anything that crazy. Instead, he said, okay, Mr. Murphy. Then he sat quietly in his seat, staring out the window at the white, puffy clouds in the bright blue sky. He could see his own reflection staring back at him in the glass. His curly, carrot-colored hair looked darker in the reflection. So did the freckles that dotted his cheeks. His expression was mournful. He hated being made fun of in front of the entire class. Why am I always getting myself into trouble? He wondered. Why can't Mr. Murphy ever give me a break? Didn't the teacher realize how hard it was to be the new kid in the school? How am I supposed to make friends if Murphy's always making me look like a total jerk in class? And just like my hair is making me look like a total jerk because I'm a ginger and people judge people on that. You know, even Ron Weasley got in. He's a fucking badass wizard. Bad enough that no one believed him about the monster blood. Evan had eagerly told the kids in his new school about it, how he had stayed with his great aunt the past summer, how he and a girl he met named Andy had found the blue container of monster blood in a creepy old toy store, and how the green, yucky monster blood had started to grow and grow, but it had bubbled out of its container, outgrown a bucket, outgrown a goddamn bathtub, and just kept growing. growing and growing as if it were alive. And Evan had told kids how Trigger had eaten just a little of the monster blood and had grown nearly as big as a house. Completely unlike Clifford the Big Red Dog. The story's in no way related. It's such a frightening, amazing story. Evan was sure his new friends would find it really cool. But instead, they just thought it was weird. And he was weird, too. No one believed him. They laughed at him and told him he had a sick imagination. Evan became known around his school as the kid who made up stupid stories. If only I could prove to them that the story's true, Evan often thought, sadly. If only I could show them the monster blood! But the mysterious green gunk had vanished from sight before Evan left his great aunt's house. Not a trace of it had been left. Not a trace. The bell rang. Everyone jumped up and headed for the door, talking and laughing. Evan knew that a lot of his classmates were laughing at him. Ignoring them, Evan picked up his backpack and started to the door. "Hurry back, Evan," Mr. Murphy called from behind his desk. "Cuddles is waiting." Evan growled under his breath and stepped out into the crowded hallway. If Murphy loves that stupid hamster so much, why doesn't he ever clean out the cage? He wondered bitterly. A group of kids laughed loudly as Evan passed by. Were they laughing at him? Evan couldn't tell. He started jogging to his locker when something hit his leg just above the ankle. His feet flew out from under him, and he toppled face down onto the hard tile floor. He broke the bone in his nose, and it went right into his brain. The end. I'm kidding, he just fell on the floor. Hey! Evan cried out like a little bitch. He stared up at a big, tough-looking kid from his class named Conan Barber. Rad, Conan. All the kids called him Conan the Barbarian! For good reason. Conan was 12. Alright, so Conan O'Brien is Conan. Conan the Barbarian's Conan. Or is it just Conan the Barbarian? That's too faggy to be a barbarian. I'm just gonna go with Conan, because that's a kid's name. Conan was 12, but he looked about 20 years older. He was taller and whiter and stronger and meaner than any other kid in the school. He wasn't a bad-looking guy. Evan grudgingly admitted. Evan can also be pronounced even, you know, but it was capitalized, so I know it was Evan. He had wavy blonde hair, blue eyes, and a handsome face. He was very athletic-looking and played all sorts of sports in school. He was an okay guy, Evan thought wistfully, except that he had one very bad habit. Conan loved to live up to his nickname. He loved being Conan the Barbarian. He loved strutting around, pounding kids who weren't his size, which included everyone. Evan had not hit it off with Conan. He met Conan on the playground a few weeks after moving to Atlanta. Eager to make a good impression, Evan told him the whole monster blood story. Conan didn't like the story. He stared back at Evan with his cold blue eyes for a long, long time. Then his expression hardened and he murmured through clenched teeth, "We don't like wise guys down here in Atlanta." He gave Evan a pretty good pounding that day. Evan had tried to stay away from Conan ever since, but it wasn't easy. Now he gazed up at Conan from his position on the floor. "Hey, why'd you trip me?" Evan demanded shrilly. Conan grinned down at him and shrugged. "It was an accident." Evan tried to decide whether it was safer to stand up or to stay down on the floor. "If I stand up, he'll punch me," he thought. "And if I go, there will be trouble." Oh, wait, sorry. "If I stay down here, he'll step on me." Tough choice. He didn't get to make it. Conan reached down with one hand, pulled Evan to his feet. "Give me a break, Conan," Evan pleaded. "Why can't you leave me alone like I made that video in 5 years after this about Britney?" Conan shrugged again. It was his favorite reply. His blue eyes twinkled merrily. "You're right, Evan," he said, his grin fading. "I shouldn't have tripped you." "Yeah," Evan agreed, straightening his t-shirt. "So you can pay me back," Conan offered. "Huh?" Evan gaped at him. Conan stuck out his massive chest. "Go ahead, hit me in the stomach. I'll let you." Whoa, no way, Evan replied, trying to back up. He stumbled into a group of kids.
Go ahead,
Conan urged, following after him.
Hit me in the stomach, as hard as you can. It's only fair. I don't know anything about Houdini. Do it.
Evan studies an expression.
You really mean it?
Conan nodded,
tight-lipped. He stuck out his chest. As hard as you can. Go ahead.
I won't hit back.
I promise.
Evan hesitated. Should he go ahead and do it?
I may never get a chance like this again, he thought.
A lot of kids were watching, Evan realized. If I hit him really hard, if I hurt him, if I make him cry out, then maybe kids around here will have a little respect for me, he thought like a chimpanzee.
I'll be Evan, the giant killer. The guy who pounded Conan the Barbarian.
He balled his hand into a tight fist and raised it.
Is that your fist?
Conan cried, laughing. Evan nodded.
Oh, this is gonna hurt,
Conan cried sarcastically. He made his knees tremble. Everyone laughed.
I may surprise him, Evan thought angrily. Go ahead, as hard as you can,
Conan urged. He sucked in a deep breath and held it. Evan pulled his arm back and swung his fist as hard as he could. The fist made a solid thud as it hit Conan's stomach. It felt like hitting a concrete wall. Evan's hand throbbed with pain.
Hey!
A man's voice called angrily. Startled, Evan spun around to see Mr. Murphy glaring at him.
No fighting, Mr. Murphy yelled at Evan.
The teacher came bouncing up to them and stepped between the two boys, huffing for breath. He turned to Conan.
Why did Evan hit you? He demanded.
I'm drinking a Kirkland brand vodka with Diet Cherry Vanilla Cream Hansen's, which I drunkenly bought a case of on Amazon. I was like, I went to the store the other day and they didn't have these, and they go great with vodka. I don't want to run out. And then I bought a case, then they came to the house and I was very surprised.
Chapter number 4.
Conan shrugged. His blue eyes went wide and innocent.
I don't know, Mr. Murphy, he replied in a tiny, forlorn voice. Evan just walked up and hit me as hard as he could.
Conan rubbed his stomach and uttered a short whimper.
Ow, he really hurt me.
Mr. Murphy narrowed his beady black eyes at Evan. His chubby face turned bright red again.
Evan, I saw the whole thing. I really don't understand you, he said softly.
But Mr. Murphy,
Evan started. The teacher raised a hand to silence him.
If you were angry about what happened in class, Mr. Murphy said, you shouldn't take it out on other kids.
Conan rubbed his stomach tenderly.
I hope Evan didn't break anything,
he murmured. Do you want to see the nurse? Mr. Murphy asked.
Conan shook his head. Evan could see he was having trouble keeping a straight face.
I'll be okay, he said, staggering away.
What a phony, I said, like Holden Caulfield, Evan thought bitterly.
Did Conan know the whole time that Murphy was standing there?
Probably.
Go take care of Cuddles, Mr. Murphy told Evan, frowning.
And try to shape up, Evan. I'm going to be warning you.
I'm going to be watching you. I don't... whatever.
Evan muttered a reply and trudged back into the classroom. Sunlight streamed in through the wall of windows. A strong breeze made the window shade flap over the open window near the teacher's desk. Feeling angry and upset and aroused, his stomach churning, Evan made his way through the empty room to the hamster cage. Cuddles wrinkled his nose in greeting. The hamster knew the routine by now.
Evan gazed into the metal cage at the brown and white creature.
Why do people think hamsters are cute? He wondered.
Do people actually wonder that? I wonder why people are into birds, I say as I look down the tattoo of birds on my wrist. But hamsters are cute to everyone.
Because they wrinkled their noses? Because they run around and around and around and around and around on wheels like jerks? Because of their cute little buck teeth?
If I want cute buck teeth, I'll just date a China girl. You know? Because Never mind. Cuddles stared up at him with his little black eyes. He had Mr. Murphy's eyes, Evan thought, chuckling to himself. Maybe that's why Mr. Murphy likes him so much.
Okay, okay, so you're kinda cute, Evan told the hamster. But I know your secret. You're just a big, fat rat in disguise.
Cuddles wrinkled his nose again in reply. With a loud sigh, Evan went to work, holding his breath because he hated the smell. He pulled out the bottom tray.
You're a messy little guy, he told the hamster. When are you going to learn to clean up your own room?
Stupid fucking joke. God, I hate Evan. God, I just want to beat up Evan.
Still holding his breath, he dumped out the old newspaper shavings and replaced them with the fresh shavings from the box in the supply closet. He returned the bottom tray to its place as Cuddles watched with great interest. Then he poured fresh water into the water bottle.
How about some sunflower seeds? Evan asked, as if he was talking to Fox Mulder. Am I right? X-Files? Yeah.
Whatever. He began to feel a little more cheerful, knowing his job was almost finished. He removed the seed cup from the cage and made his way across the room to the supply closet to get fresh sunflower seeds.
Okay, Cuddles, he called. These look yummy.
He started to carry the seeds back to the cage. Halfway across the room, Evan stopped and uttered a startled gasp. The cage door hung wide open. The hamster was gone.
Chapter number 5.
A choking sound escaped Evan's lips as he stared at the empty cage. His eyes darted frantically around the room. His butt farted frantically around the room. Cuddles? Cuddles? He called in a frightened voice. Why am I yelling? He asked himself, spinning around in total panic. The dumb hamster doesn't know its name. He heard footsteps out in the hall.
Mr. Murphy?
No, please no, Evan pleaded silently. Don't let it be Mr. Murphy. Don't let him return until I have Cuddles safely back in his cage. Cuddles was Mr. Murphy's most precious possession. He had told this to the whole class time and time again. Evan knew that if anything happened to Cuddles, Mr. Murphy would be on Evan's case for the rest of the year. No, for the rest of his life. Evan froze in the center of the room, listening hard. The footsteps passed by the room. Evan started breathing again.
Cuddles? Where are you, Cuddles? Scarlet, would you like to cuddle?
All the pets are asleep. Oh, now they're all looking at me.
Hi, Yodi.
I have some delicious sunflower seeds for you. He spotted the furry brown and white creature on the chalk tray under the front chalkboard. There you are, I see you, Evan whispered, tiptoeing toward it. Cuddles was busily chewing on something, a small piece of white chalk. Evan tiptoed closer. I have seeds for you, Cuddles, he whispered, much tastier than chalk. Cuddles held the stick of chalk in his front paws, turning it as he chewed. Cute! Evan crept closer. Closer.
Look, seeds! He held the plastic seed cup toward the hamster. That was a sound effect of pistachio shells I was eating last night.
Cuddles didn't look up. Evan crept a little closer, closer, close enough to dive forward and...
miss.
The hamster dropped the chalk and scampered down the chalk tray. Evan made another frantic grab and came up with nothing but air. Letting out a frustrated groan, Evan saw the hamster dive to the floor and scamper behind Mr. Murphy's desk. The hamster's feet skidded and slid on the linoleum floor, its toenails clicking loudly. Clicky, clicky, clicky. You can't get away, you're too fat, Evan cried. He dropped to his knees and peered under the desk. He could see Cuddles staring back at him from the darkness, the animal's breathing rapidly, its sides swelling with each breath.
Don't be scared, Evan whispered soothingly. I'm going to put you back in your nice, safe cage.
Dune made weird hamster petting motions with his hands like a creep. He crawled quickly to the desk. The hamster stared back at him, breathing hard. It didn't move until Evan reached for him, then Cuddle scampered away, his tiny paws sliding on the floor. Evan jumped angrily to his feet. "Cuddles, what's your problem?" he demanded loudly. "This isn't a stupid game." It wasn't a game at all, Evan knew. If he didn't get the hamster back in that fucking cage, Mr. Murphy would flunk him for sure, or suspend him from school, or get his family kicked out of Hotlanta.
Wait, if Gucci Mane can't get kicked out of Atlanta, then nobody can. Actually, he's in jail right now. I feel bad. Free Guwop!
Brr! Calm down, Evan urged himself. Don't panic. He took a deep breath and held it in. He saw the hamster on the window ledge, just inside the open window. Okay, Evan, go ahead and panic, he told himself. Before Mr. Murphy comes back with his panis. That's the thing of gut that goes over fat people's penis. This was definitely panic time. He tried to call the hamster, but his voice came out a choked whisper. Swallowing hard, Evan edged slowly toward the window ledge. Ooh, rhyming again. Come here, Cuddles, he whispered. Please, Cuddles, come here. Closer, closer, almost close enough to reach the hamster. Almost close enough. Don't move, Cuddles, don't move. He reached out his hand slowly, slowly. Cuddles glanced back at him with his soft black eyes. Then the hamster jumped out the window. Chapter number six. Six, six. Evan hung back for only a second. Then he jumped out the window after the hamster. Luckily, the science class was on the ground level. Evan landed face down in a low evergreen hedge. Struggling and squirming, it took him a while to climb to his feet. He took several steps over the grass, then turned and stared back along the bottom of the long hedge. Cuddles, are you under there? Evan squatted down to get a better view. The hedge stretched the entire length of the school building. Cuddle could hide under there forever. And if I don't find him, Evan told himself bitterly, I'd better hide under there forever too. Oh my god, it's like a sitcom. They could be wacky, mismatched roommates. To the right, Evan could hear voices from the playground. Happy, shouting voices. Carefree voices. Still squatting, he turned toward the happy voices and saw a fat brown ball wobbling over the grass toward the playground. No, not a ball. Cuddles. That fat hamster isn't getting away this time, Evan decided, jumping up and starting to chase after him. I'll catch him if I have to sit on him. A picture flashed into Evan's mind of Cuddles, deep into his colon running around. Maybe Richard Gere was onto something. Oh, no, sorry. The picture that flashed in his mind was the Cuddles as flat as a pancake after Evan had sat upon him. A little round, furry hamster rug. Despite his panic, the thought of Cuddles as a rug brought a smile to Evan's perspiring face. As he ran, his eyes kept on... But he was looking at Cuddles. The hamster was wobbling rapidly over the grass toward the playground. Oh no, Evan cried out in horror as Cuddles darted in front of two girls speeding across the grass on bikes. Laughing together, they didn't even see the hamster. Cuddles is about to be roadkill, Evan thought, shrinking back. He shut his eyes and waited for the squish. But the bikes rolled smoothly on, and when they passed, Evan spotted Cuddles continuing his journey to the playground unharmed. Cuddles, come back here, he shouted furiously. The hamster appeared to speed up. He tumbled onto the baseball diamond, all four paws scurrying over the dirt of the third baseline. Several kids stopped their game to stare. Stop him! Grab the hamster! Evan shouted desperately, but the kids only laughed. Know how to catch him? A joker named Robbie Green called to Evan. Make it sound like a sunflower seed. That's an old joke, a girl called to Robbie. Really? What a boring school. I was about to name some sort of joke that I could think of from elementary school, but all I could think of that the Batmobile lost its wheel and Joker got away. That deal. Because that's all I remember. Thanks for your help, Evan shouted sarcastically. He ran over the pitching mound and had crossed second base when he realized he had lost sight of Cuddles. He stopped and spun around, his heart thudding wildly in his chest. He searched the grass of the infield. Where is he? He stammered. Do you see him? But the kids had returned to their softball game. Because they have no regard for the lives of hamsters. I can't lose him now, Evan told himself, choked with panic. I can't. Sweat poured down Evan's forehead. He mopped it with one hand, brushing back his curly red hair. His t-shirt clung wetly to his back. His mouth felt dry as cotton. Jogging onto the outfield, he searched the grass. Cuddles? No sign of him. A round, brownish lump in the grass turned out to be someone else's baseball glove. Cuddles! A kickball game was underway on the opposite diamond. Kids were shouting and cheering. Evan saw Bree Douglas, a girl from his class, a hottie boomalotti, slide hard into second base just before the ball. Damn, he wished he could slide hard into her base. Has anyone seen Cuddles? Evan gasped, trotting onto the diamond. Kids turned to gawk at him. Out here? Bree called, brushing off the knees of her jeans. Evan, did you take the hamster out for a walk? Everyone laughed, scornful laughter. He got away, Evan replied, panting. Is this what you're looking for? A familiar voice called. Evan turned to see Conan Barber, a pleased smile on his handsome face, his blue eyes gleaming. Gripping it by its furry back, Conan held the hamster up in one hand. Cuddles' four legs scurried in midair. You caught him, Evan cried gratefully. He let out a long sigh of relief, and he jumped out the window. Evan reached out with both hands for the hamster, but Conan jerked Cuddles out of his reach. Prove it's yours, Conan said, grinning.
Huh? Can you identify it?
Conan demanded in a completely different voice that hurt Dune's throat, his eyes burning into Evan's, challenging Evan.
Prove the hamster is yours.
Evan swallowed hard and glanced around. Kids from the kickball game were huddling near. They were all grinning, delighted with Conan's mean joke. Evan sighed wearily and reached again for the hamster, but Conan was at least a foot taller than Evan. He lifted the hamster high above Evan's head, out of Evan's reach.
Prove it's yours,
he repeated, flashing the others a grin. Give me a break, Conan, Evan pleaded, saying the phrase give me a break for like the dozenth time in this book. We're only on page 27, what the fuck? I've been chasing this stupid fucking hamster for hours. I just want to get him back into his cage before Mr. Murphy.
Do you have a license for him?
Conan demanded, still holding the squirming hamster above Evan's head.
Show me the license.
Evan jumped and stretched both hands up, trying to grab Cuddles away, but Conan was too fast for him. He dodged away, even grabbed air. Some kids laughed.
Give him the hamster, Conan,
Bree called. She hadn't moved from second base. Conan's cold eyes sparkled excitedly. I'll tell you how you can get the hamster back, he told Evan.
Huh?
Evan glared at him. He was getting really tired of Conan's game.
Here's how you get old Cuddles back,
Conan continued, holding the hamster tightly against his chest in one hand and petting its back with the other.
Sing a song for it.
Hey, no way, Evan snapped. Give it to me, Conan.
Evan could feel his face growing even hotter. His knees started to tremble. He hoped no one would see it.
Sing, row, 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 your boat. I'll give you Cuddles, I promise.
Conan said, smirking. Some kids laughed. They moved closer, eager to see what Evan would do. Evan shook his head.
No way!
Come on,
Conan urged softly, stroking the hamster's brown fur.
Row, 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 your boat, bro. Just a few choruses, you know how it goes, don't you?
More cruel laughters from the others. Conan's grin grew wider.
Come on, Evan. You like to sing, don't you?
Oh, sorry.
Come on, Evan. You like to sing, don't you?
No. I hate singing,
Evan muttered, his eyes on Cuddles.
Hey, don't be modest,
Conan insisted.
I'll bet you're a great singer. Are you a soprano or an alto?
loud laughter.
Evan's hands tightened into hard fists at his sides. He wanted to punch Conan and punch him and punch him and punch him and punch him and kiss him and punch him and punch him and punch himself for the impulse to kiss him and then punch him again. He wanted to wipe the grin off Conan's handsome face with his fists. But he remembered what it had felt like to punch Conan. It felt like hitting Colossus from the X-Men. He took a deep breath. If I sing the stupid song, will you really give me back the hamster? Conan didn't reply. Evan suddenly realized that Conan wasn't looking at him anymore. No one was. They all raised their eyes over Evan's shoulders. Confused, Evan spun around to face Mr. Murphy. What is going on here? The teacher demanded, his tiny eyes moving from Evan to Conan and then back to Evan, then to Conan, then once again back to Evan. Before Evan could reply, Conan held up the hamster.
Here's Cuddles, Mr. Murphy, Conan said. Evan let him get away, but I rescued Cuddles, just like he was going to get, just so he didn't get run over and shit.
Mr. Murphy let out a horrified gasp. Run over? He cried. Cuddles, run over? The teacher reached out his chubby pink hands and took the hamster from Conan. He held the hamster against his bulging shirt and petted it, making soothing sounds to it. Coo-prrr, coo-prrr. Thank you, Conan, Mr. Murphy said after calming Cuddles. He glared at Evan. I'm very disappointed in you, Evan. Evan started to defend himself, but Mr. Murphy raised a hand to silence him. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Right now, I must get poor Cuddles back into his cage. Evan slumped to the ground. He watched Mr. Murphy carry the hamster back to the school building. Mr. Murphy waddles just like the hamster, Evan realized. Normally, that thought would have cheered him up. But Evan was far too unhappy to be cheered up by anything. Conan had embarrassed him in front of all the others, and the big, grinning Hulk had managed to get Evan in trouble with Mr. Murphy twice in one afternoon. The kickball game had started up again. Evan climbed slowly to his feet and began trudging to the school building to get his backpack. He couldn't decide who he hated more, Cuddles or Conan. Evan, you should probably actually hate Conan more, because you and him are the same species, and Cuddles is just acting on chemical impulses and shit. He's just trying to get free so he doesn't have to live in a fucking cage with a weird, creepy teacher who would name him Cuddles. Okay? La da 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 da. He had a sudden picture of Cuddles stuffed inside a muffin tin being baked in the oven. Even that lovely thought didn't cheer Evan up. He pulled his backpack out of the locker and slung it over his shoulders. Then he slammed the locker shut, the sound clinging down the empty hallway. He pushed open the front door and headed for home, walking slowly, lost in his unhappy thoughts. What a horrible day, he told himself. At least nothing worse could happen to me today. He had just crossed the street and was making his way on the sidewalk in front of a tall hedge when someone leaped out at him, grabbed his shoulders hard from behind, and pulled him roughly to the ground. Evan let out a frightened cry and gazed into his attacker's face. You! He cried, pointing like the monkey from Family Guy.
Chapter number 7.
Here's a little advice, Evan, Andy said, grinning down at him. Don't go out for the wrestling team. Andy! Evan cried, staring up at her in surprise. What are you doing here? She reached out both hands and helped tug him up to his feet. Then she tossed back her short brown hair with a flick of her head. Her brown eyes flashed excitedly.
Didn't you read any of my letters?
She demanded. Evan had met Andy the past summer when he stayed with his grandmother for a few weeks. He and Andy had become good friends, but strictly platonic, and that bummed him out. She was with him when he brought the container of monster blood. She shared the whole frightening monster blood experience with him. Evan liked Andy because she was funny and fearless and kind of crazy. He never could predict what she would do next. She didn't even dress like the other girls, Evan knew. Andy loved bright colors. Right now, she was wearing a sleeveless magenta t-shirt over bright yellow shorts, which matched her yellow sneakers. Andy was inevitably going to get into hallucinogens. "I told you in my last letter that my parents were sent overseas for a year," Andy said, giving a playful shove. "I told you they were sending me to Atlanta to live with my aunt and uncle. I told you I'd be living just 3 blocks away from you." I know," Evan replied, rolling his eyes. "I just didn't expect you to jump out of the hedge at me." "Why not?" Andy demanded, her dark eyes exploring his body, or at least his eyes. Evan didn't know how to answer that question. "Glad to see me?" Andy added. "No," he joked. She pulled up a thick blade of grass and stuck it in the corner of her mouth. They began walking towards Evan's house. Andy thought to herself how much the grass smelled like dog piss. How would you pick up just grass? Oh, God, I walk my dog 3 or 4 times a day, and he just pisses on everything. I would never put grass in my mouth. And I'd never smoke grass, kids. Just alcohol and drugs. "I'm starting at your school on Monday," she told him, chewing on the blade of grass. "Thrills and chills," he replied, snickering. She shoved him off the sidewalk. "I thought people are supposed to be polite in the South." "I'm new here," Evan replied. "How's Trigger?" she asked, kicking a pebble across the sidewalk. "Good," Evan told her. "Like to talk a lot?" she asked sarcastically. "I'm in a bad mood," he confessed. "It hasn't been the greatest day." "It couldn't be as bad as the day the monster blood went berserk," Andy claimed. Evan groaned. "Don't mention monster blood to me, please." She studied him. Her expression turned serious. "What's wrong, Evan? You look upset," she said. "Do you like it here?" He shook his head. "Not much." As they walked, he told her about all the troubles he was having at his new school. He told her about Mr. Murphy and Cuddles, and how the teacher was always on his case. And he told her about Conan the Barbarian, and how Conan was always picking on him. Always picking, ripping apart for Jimmy Popple. "You got a schnoz like the cause of drama. You back me up, Bill. Yeah, and you ugly, too." Always getting him into trouble. Always playing tricks on him and making him look bad. "And no one will believe me about the monster blood," Evan added. They were standing at the bottom of his driveway. They glanced up at Evan's new house, a two-story red brick house with a sloping red tile roof. The late afternoon sun dipped behind a large puff of cloud, and a broad shadow rolled across the lawn. Andy's mouth dropped open. The blade of grass fell out. "You told kids about the monster blood?" she asked in surprise. Evan nodded. "Yeah, why not? It's a cool story, isn't it?" "And you expected kids to believe you?" Andy cried, slapping her forehead. "Didn't they just think you were weird?"
"Yeah," Evan replied bitterly. "They all think I'm weird."
Andy laughed. "Well, you are weird." "Thanks a bunch, bitch, Andrea," Evan muttered. He knew she hated to be called by her real name. "Don't call me Andrea," she replied sharply. She raised a fist. "I'll fucking pound you." "Andrea," he repeated. He ducked away as she swung her fist. "You punch like a girl," he exclaimed. "You'll bleed like a boy," she threatened, like Eowyn from Lord of the Rings. He stopped. He suddenly had an idea. "Hey, you can tell everyone I'm not that weird." "Huh? Why would I do that?" Andy demanded. "No, really," Evan said excitedly. "You can tell everyone at school that the monster blood was real. That you were there. That you saw it." Andy's expression suddenly changed. Her dark eyes lit up and a sly grin crossed her face. "I can do better than that," she said mysteriously. Evan grabbed her shoulder. "Huh? What do you mean? What do you mean you can do better?" "You'll see," she replied, teasing him. "I brought something with me." "What? What is it? What do you mean?" Evan demanded. "Meet me tomorrow after school," she told him, "at that little park over there." She pointed to the next block, a narrow park, only a few blocks long, ran along the bank of a shallow creek.
"But what is it?"
Oh, God, I just killed my throat. I'm not a music teacher, but I assume that they tell singers to gargle with vodka.
she laughed. "I love torturing you," she declared, "but it's a little too easy." She then turned and headed down the street, running at full speed. "Andy, wait!" Evan called. "What have you got? What did you bring?" She didn't even turn around. Chapter 8, more like Chapter Great. Evan dreamed about monster blood. That night, he dreamed about it every single night. Tonight, he dreamed that his dad had eaten a glob of it. Now, Mr. Ross wanted to go get his... Fucking shit. No, I'm not going to restart this. That's not what I do anymore. I just keep going on. Now, Mr. Ross wanted to go to his office, but he had grown too big to fit through the door. That's what he thinks of adults. Like, all right, dude, you got magical powers. What are you going to do? I'm just going to fucking go into work and just keep working in my office. And I, you know, my biggest fear is not being able to go to my office and just, you know, work in my soul-crushing job when I have $130 in my saving account. Oh, gosh, kill myself.
"You're in trouble now, Evan," Mr. Ross bellowed, making the whole house shake. "Big trouble. Big trouble." The word stuck in Evan's mind as he sat up in bed and tried to shake away the dream. The curtains flapped silently in front of his open bedroom window. Pale yellow stars dotted the charcoal sky. Staring hard, Evan could see the Big Dipper. Or was it the Little Skipper? He never could remember. Shutting his eyes and settling back on the pillow, Evan thought about Andy. He was glad she had come to stay in Hotlanta for a while. She could be a real pain, but she was also a lot of fun. What did she want to show him in the park after school? Probably nothing, Evan guessed. It was probably just a dumb joke. Andy loved dumb jokes. How can I get her to tell the kids at school about monster blood? He wondered. How can I get Andy to tell everyone that I didn't make it up? That it was true. He was still thinking about this problem as he fell back into a restless sleep. There's one of those weird drinking breaks. The next day at school wasn't much better than the last. Somehow, during free reading period, Conan had crept under the table and tied Evan's sneakers together. While Evan got up to go to the water fountain, he fell flat on his stupid fucking ginger face. He scraped a knee, but no one cared. The kids laughed for hours. "Evan's mommy tied his shoes funny this morning," Conan told everyone, and they laughed even harder. In science class, Mr. Murphy called Evan over to the hamster cage. "Look at poor Cuddles," the teacher said, shaking his round hand solemnly. Evan peered down into the metal cage. Cuddles was curled up in a corner under a pile of shavings. The hamster was trembling and breathing in short gasps. "Poor Cuddles has been like that ever since yesterday," Mr. Murphy told Evan with an accusing frown. "Cuddles is sick because of your carelessness." I'm sorry, Evan stammered. He stared hard at the quivering hamster. You're faking, aren't you, Cuddles? Evan thought. You're faking just to get me in trouble. Wow, what a fucking douchebag sociopath kid. The hamster twitched and stared up at him with a mournful black eyes. When Evan sat back down in his seat, he felt cold water seep through the back of his jeans. Maybe he accidentally sat in a bidet, you know? With a startled cry, he jumped back up. Somebody, probably Conan, had poured a cup of water on his chair. That had the class laughing for at least 10 minutes. They stopped only when Mr. Murphy threatened to keep everyone after school. "Sit down, Evan," the teacher ordered. "But Mr. Murphy..." Evan started. "Sit down now," Mr. Murphy insisted. Evan dropped back down into the wet chair. What choice did he have? Another drinking break. Andy was waiting for Evan by the trickling brown creek that rolled through the tiny park. The old sassafras trees bent and whispered in a hot breeze. A tall Georgia pine leaned over the water as if trying to reach across the creek. Andy was wearing a bright blue t-shirt over lime green short shorts. She had been staring at her reflection in the muddy creek water. She spun around, smiling as Evan called to her. "Hey, how's it going?" he called. He stepped up beside her and dropped his backpack to the ground. "How is school?" she asked. "Same as always," Evan replied, sighing. Then his expression brightened.
What did you bring? He asked eagerly. You'll see. She clasped a hand over his eyes.
Shut your eyes, Evan. And don't open them until I say.
He obediently shut his eyes, but when she pulled her hand away, he opened them a tiny crack just enough to see. He watched her go behind the pine tree and pick up a small brown paper bag. She carried the bag over to him. You're peeking, aren't you? She accused him.
Maybe,
he confessed, grinning. She punched him playfully in the stomach. He cried out, his eyes shot open. What's in the bag? He said, like Brad Pitt in Seven. Grinning, Andy handed the bag to him. He pulled it open, peered inside, and his mouth dropped open in shock. The familiar blue can, about the size of a can of soup. Andy, you... Evan stammered, still staring wide-eyed into the bag. He reached in and pulled out the plastic can. He read the faded label.
Monster blood!
Then he read the words in tiny type below it.
Surprising miracle substance!
I saved it, Andy said, beaming proudly. Evan couldn't get over his shock.
You brought monster blood!
I don't believe it! You brought monster blood! No! She shook her head. It's empty, Evan. It's the can. The can is empty. It's just a can. His face fell. He sighed in total disappointment. But you can show the can to everyone, Andy insisted. That will prove you didn't make it up, and it will prove that monster blood really exists. Evan sighed again. What good is an empty can? He groaned. He pulled off the top, peered inside, and screamed. Ah!
Chapter number 9.
Also, I'm not drinking Budweiser, because goddammit, I'm an American. With a trembling hand, Evan tilted the can so that Andy could see inside.
Oh no!
She shrieked, pulling her hands to her cheeks. The can was half full.
Huh.
Apparently Evan's an optimist. Inside, a green glob of gooey monster blood shimmered in the sunlight like lime jello.
But it was empty, Andy protested, staring into the can. I know it was.
Evan shook the can. The green glob inside quivered. There must have been a tiny speck in there, Evan guessed, down at the bottom of the can, and now it's growing, and growing again.
Great,
Andy declared. She slapped him on the back so hard he nearly dropped the blue can.
Great, what's so great? He demanded shakily.
Now you can show this to the kids at your school, she replied.
Now they have to believe you.
I guess, Evan replied in a low voice.
Oh, I have a better idea, she exclaimed, her dark eyes lighting up mischievously.
Ruh-roh!
Evan moaned. Slip a little glob of it in that guy Conan's lunch tomorrow. When he starts to grow as big as a hippo, everyone will see that the monster blood is real.
No way, Jose,
Evan cried.
Ow, why does my fucking knee hurt so bad? I can't even see anything wrong, but it feels like I'm just getting stabbed.
He cupped the blue can in both hands, as if protecting it from Andy.
Conan's already big enough, he told her, taking a step back.
I don't want him to grow another inch.
Do you know what he could do to me if he became a giant?
Andy laughed and shrugged.
It was just an idea.
A bad idea, Evan said sharply. A really bad idea.
You're no fun, she teased.
She leaped forward and tried to wrestle the can from his hands. He spun around, doing a flying cartwheel kick in her face. Oh no, he just turned his back to her and hunched over, protecting the can.
Give it to me, she cried, laughing. She started to tickle his sides.
Give it, give it!
No, he protested, breaking free.
He ran to the safety of a tall evergreen shrub.
It's mine, Andy declared, coming after him, hands at her waist.
If you're not going to use it, hand it back. Evan stood his ground. His expression turned serious.
Andy, don't you remember?
He demanded shrilly.
Don't you remember how scary this stuff was? Don't you remember how dangerous it was? All the trouble it caused? So, she replied, her eyes on the blue can. We have to get rid of it, Evan told her firmly. We can't let it out of the can. It will grow and grow and never fucking stop. But I thought you wanted to show it to the kids to prove that it's real. No, Evan interrupted. I've changed my mind. That stuff is too dangerous. We have to get rid of it. He locked his eyes on hers, his features tight with fear. Andy, I've had nightmares every night because of this stuff. I don't want any new nightmares. In fact, I'm a little bitch. Okay, okay, she muttered. She kicked at an upraised root tree thing. You know the feet the tree have? She kicked the tree foot. Then she handed him the brown paper bag. Evan clicked the top back on the can of monster blood. Then he shoved the can into the bag. Now, how do we get rid of it? He wondered out loud, wishing he could go walk all the way to Mordor. I know. Dump it in the creek, Andy suggested. Clearly not a planeteer. Evan shook his head. No good. What if it gets out and pollutes the creek? This creek is already polluted, Andy exclaimed. It's just a big mud puddle. It isn't deep enough, Evan insisted. Someone will find the can and pull it out, and we can't take that chance. Then, how do we get rid of it? Andy asked, twisting her face in concentration. We could eat it ourselves. That would get rid of it. Very funny, Evan muttered, rolling his eyes. Just trying to be helpful, Andy said. Women, you know, even when they try to be helpful. You're about as helpful as a toothache, Evan shot back like an old Jewish man. Ha, ha, remind me to laugh at that sometime, she replied, sticking out her tongue at him. How can we get rid of it? Evan repeated, gripping the bag in both hands. How? I know, a boy's voice called, startling them both. Conan Barber stepped out from behind a tall shrub. You can give it to me, he declared. He reached out a big, powerful-looking hand to grab the bag. This is the 10th chapter of Monster Blood 2 by R.L. Stine in the Goosebumps series, read by Dune, possibly illegally. Evan swung the paper bag behind his back. Conan lumbered toward them over the tall grass. His eyes were narrowed menacingly at Evan like a Chinaman. How long had he been hiding there? Evan wondered. Did he hear us talk about the monster blood? Is that why he wants the bag? Hi, I'm Andy, Andy chirped brightly. She stepped in between the two boys and flashed Conan a smile. Andy's a boy's name, Conan said, making a disgusted face. He turned his hard stare on her, challenging her. And what kind of name is Conan? Andy shot back, returning his stare. You know me? Conan asked, sounding surprised. You're famous, Andy replied dryly. Conan suddenly remembered Evan. He stuck out his big paw. I'll take the bag now. Why would I give it to you? Evan demanded, trying to keep his voice calm and steady. Because it's mine, Conan lied. I dropped it here. You dropped an empty bag here? Evan asked. Conan swatted a fly from his blonde hair. It isn't empty. I saw you put something in it. Hand it over, now. Well, okay. Evan handed him the paper bag. Conan eagerly reached inside. His hand came out empty. He peered inside the bag empty. He stared at Andy, then at Evan. I told you it was empty, Evan said. Guess I made a mistake, Conan muttered. Hey, no hard feelings. Oh, sorry that this is still Conan talking. Hey, no hard feelings. Shake. Conan reached out his bright red hand to Evan. Evan reluctantly stuck out his hand. Conan slid his hand over Evan's and began to tighten his grip harder and harder. Evan's fingers cracked so loudly they sounded like a tree falling. If you cracked Evan's hand in a forest, could nobody was around, would it make a sound? Yes! Yes, it would! Conan squeezed Evan's hand harder and harder until Evan screamed in pain. When Conan finally let go, the hand looked like a slab of raw hamburger. Nice handshake you got there, Conan exclaimed, grinning. He snapped his fingers against Andy's nose, then headed off quickly toward the street, taking long strides, laughing to himself.
Great guy, Andy muttered, rubbing her nose.
Evan blew on his hand as if trying to put out a fire. Maybe I can learn to be left-handed, he murmured.
Hey, where's the monster blood?
Andy demanded. I dropped it, Evan replied, still exclaiming, examining his hands.
Huh?
She kicked away a clump of weeds and stepped over to him. I thought I could shove the can into my back jeans pocket while Conan was talking to you, Evan explained, but it slipped out of my hand and I dropped it. He turned, bent over, and picked it up from the tall grass. Good thing it didn't roll or anything. Conan would have seen it.
He wouldn't know what to do with it if he had it, Andy said, referring to both the monster blood
and his penis, you know, up top. I just gave that book a high five. That's the posters I should put out. The government needs to pay me to put posters in elementary schools of me high-fiving a Goosebumps book that says, like, you should read like Dune, but not drink like him.
What are we going to do with it? Evan demanded. It's already caused us trouble. We've got to hide it, or throw it away,
or... He said like someone that's putting a checklist on what they need to go canoeing.
God, I'm funny.
He pulled open the lid.
Oh, wow, look!
He held the can up to Andy's face. The green grew had grown nearly to the top of the can. It's starting to grow a lot faster, I guess because we exposed it to air. Evan slammed the lid tight. Let's bury it, Andy suggested. Here, right under this tree. We'll dig a deep hole and bury it. Evan liked that idea. It was simple and quick. They squatted down and began digging with their hands. The dirt beneath the tree was soft. The hole grew deep before they had worked up a sweat. Evan dropped the blue can of monster blood into the hole. Then they quickly covered it with dirt, smoothing it out until it was impossible to tell a hole had been dug. This was a good plan, Andy said, climbing to her feet, playfully wiping the dirt off her hands on the back of Evan's t-shirt. If we need it, we'll know where it is. Evan's red hair was matted to his forehead with sweat. He had a wide smear of dirt across his freckled forehead.
Huh? Why would we need it?
He demanded. Andy shrugged. You never know.
We won't need it, Evan told her firmly. We won't.
He was very, very wrong.
Motherfucking chapter 11, bitch, swag.
Hey, Dad, what's up? Evan stepped into the garage. Mr. Ross stopped hammering and turned around. He smiled at Evan. Want to see my newest work?
Yeah, sure, Evan replied.
Every weekend, his father spent an hour after hour in his garage workshop, banging away on large sheets of metal, making what he called his works. Clearly, Evan's father had a methamphetamine problem. He chiseled and hammered and sawed and snorted and smoked and slammed and put a lot of effort into his sculptures. But to Evan, they all looked like banged-up sheets of metal when they were finished. Mr. Ross took a few steps back to admire his current project. He lowered his heavy mallet in one hand and pointed with the chisel he held in his other hand. I used brass for this one, he told Evan. I call it Autumn Leaf. Evan studied it thoughtfully.
It looks like a leaf, he lied.
It looks like Dad ruined a perfectly good piece of brass, he thought, trying to keep a straight face. Ever since I learned about whatever the first people to use, clearly I didn't learn very well, as I don't know who the fuck they were. Maybe Robins? Anyway, any time head work, go brain, here's alcohol. Ever since I heard about brass statues of any kind, I always wanted one as a little kid of myself. It doesn't have to be full size. It can be like 4 or 5 feet tall. I want to be myself and just stay there because they last for fucking ever. I want future generations to find my face and be like, who the fuck's this asshole? High-fiving a book. Why did someone make a sculpture of this?
It's not supposed to look like a leaf, Mr. Ross corrected Evan. It's supposed to look like my impression of a leaf.
Oh. Evan scratched his curly red hair as he studied it some more.
Neat, Dad, he said. I see what you mean.
Then something else caught his eye.
Hey, what's this?
Evan carefully stepped over several jagged, bent shards of metal. He made his way to another metal sculpture and ran his hand over the smooth, shiny surface. It was an enormous aluminum cylinder that rested above a flat wooden base.
Go ahead, spin it,
Mr. Ross instructed, smiling proudly. Evan pushed the cylinder with both hands. It spun slowly over the wooden base.
I call it the wheel,
his father told him. Evan laughed.
That's cool, Dad. You invented the wheel!
Don't laugh, Mr. Ross replied, grinning. That sculpture was accepted at the annual arts competition at your school. I have to take it to the auditorium later this week.
What kind of adult is competing in elementary school? I guess he has periods. Junior high school art projects?
Hey, guys, my finger painting looks better than most of these.
Evan gave the wheel another spin. I'll bet no one else made a wheel that really spins, he told his father. You can't lose with this, Dad, he teased. Sarcasm is the lowest form of humor, Mr. Ross muttered unknowingly about not... Fuck! I was going to say Mr. Ross muttered unaware of the medium of bootleg audiobooks, but clearly that's not the case. I that didn't come out of my mouth because I'm an idiot and I'm fucking brain... Evan said goodbye and made his way out of the garage, stepping carefully over the jagged pieces of brass and tin. As he headed to the house, he could hear the clang, clang, clang of the trolley as his dad hammered away on his impression of a leaf.
Yeah, look who could read audiobooks for money. Drinking break.
In the halls after school on Monday, Evan hurried around the corner and bumped right into Andy. I can't talk now, he told her breathlessly. I'm late for basketball tryouts. He glanced down at the long hall. It was nearly empty. The gym door opened, and he could hear the thump of basketballs against the floor.
How come you're late? Andy demanded, blocking his path.
Murphy kept me after class, Evan told her with a groan. He put me on permanent hamster duty. I have to take care of Cuddles every afternoon for the rest of my life.
Bad news, Andy murmured.
No, that's good news, Evan replied bitterly.
What's the bad news?
The bad news is that Mr. Murphy is also the basketball coach.
Well, good luck, she said. Hope you make the team.
Evan ran past her, his heart pounding.
Evan couldn't even play for the Washington Generals, am I right?
Mr. Murphy is such a rat, he thought unhappily. He'll probably keep me off the team just because I'm late to practice, and untalented, and short, and in a wheelchair. Even though it's his fault I'm late.
Evan took a deep breath.
No. Stop thinking like that, he scolded himself. Think positive. I've got to think positive. Sure, I'm not as tall as the other guys. Maybe I'm not as big or as strong. But I at least don't have any money.
Oh, sorry, but I'm a good basketball player and I can make this team. I can make this team. I know I can.
Having finished his pep talk to himself, Evan pulled open the double gym doors and stepped into the huge, brightly lit gym.
Think fast, a voice called.
Evan felt his face explode with pain. Then everything went black.
Chapter number 12.
When Evan opened his eyes, he found himself staring up at about 20 guys and Mr. Murphy. He was stretching out flat on his back on the gym floor, his face still hurt a lot. He reached a hand up and touched his nose. To his dismay, it felt like a wilted leaf of lettuce.
Ugh. That's a good description, R.L. Stine. That may have been your best.
You okay, Evan? Mr. Murphy asked quietly. As the teacher leaned over Evan, the whistle that was on a string around his neck bumped against Evan's chest.
Did my face explode?
Evan asked weakly. Some of the guys snickered. Mr. Murphy glowered at them angrily. Then he turned back to Evan.
Conan hit you in the face with the basketball, he reported.
He's got bad reflexes, coach.
Evan heard Conan say from somewhere above him.
He should have caught the ball. I really thought he'd catch it, but, you know, he's got bad reflexes.
I saw the whole thing,
Conan's friend, a huge hulk of a kid named Biggie Malik, chimed in.
I had a friend named Biggie. That's not his name. His name was Tyler. But he got married recently. I wasn't invited to the wedding, so F that.
I'm just going to be spiteful and rant about him on podcasts. What's up? We spent thousands of hours together. We hung out all the time and stuff. We grew up together and shit, and I can't go to your wedding? Well, fine. You can't go to my bar mitzvah.
It wasn't Conan's fault. Evan should have caught the ball. It was a perfect pass.
Perfect,
Evan thought with a sigh. He touched his nose again. This time, it felt like a lump of mashed potatoes. At least it wasn't broken, he thought gloomily. Evan's basketball tryout went downhill from there. Oh my goodness, RL. Mr. Murphy helped him to his feet.
You sure you want to try out? He asked.
Thanks for your support, Evan thought bitterly. I think I can make the team, he said.
But Conan, Biggie, and the other guys had other ideas. During the ball-handling tryout, Evan confidently began dribbling across the floor. Halfway to the basket, Biggie bumped him hard, and Conan stole the ball away. They blocked Evan's shots. They stole his passes. They bumped him every time he moved, sending him sprawling to the hardwood floor again and again. A fast pass from Conan caught Evan in the mouth.
Oops, sorry.
Conan yelled. Biggie laughed like a hyena. Defense! I want to see defense! Mr. Murphy shouted from the sidelines, adding nothing to the experience. Evan lowered himself into a defensive stance as Conan dribbled the ball towards him. Evan prepared to defend the basket. Conan drove closer. Closer! R.L. Stine uses that a lot, where the one sentence is just the word closer. That's in almost every book. Evan raised both hands to block Conan's shot, but to Evan's surprise, Conan let the ball bounce away. In one swift motion, he grabbed Evan by the waist, leaped high in the air, and stuffed Evan into the basket.
3 points!
Conan shouted in triumph. Biggie and the other guys rushed to congratulate Conan, laughing and cheering. Mr. Murphy had to get a stepladder to help Evan down. His hand on Evan's shoulder, the teacher led him to the side.
You're just not tall enough, Evan, he said, rubbing his pink chins. Don't take it personally. Maybe you'll grow. But for now, you're just not tall enough.
Evan didn't say a word. He lowered his head and sadly slumped out of the gym. Conan came running up at him at the door.
Hey, Evan, no hard feelings, he said.
He stuck out his big, sweaty hand.
Shake. Oh, no. Ah, man, that Conan's a jerk, huh, listeners?
All right, that's one of the drinking breaks. And once again, explaining the drinking break I keep saying, it's some sort of literary device where you, instead of just saying enter and go in the next paragraph, there's an empty blank space there which insinuates that time has passed. Time has passed. And that's when I drink. Also, I drink at random other intervals. And when I wake up,
Evan held up his hand to show Andy. It looks like a wilted petunia, she said. I can't believe I fell for Conan's stupid handshake trick twice, Evan wailed.
It was the next afternoon. Evan and Andy had walked from school to the small park near their houses. Evan had complained about Mr. Murphy and Conan and the other basketball players the whole way. The late afternoon sun beamed down on them as they walked. Andy stopped to watch two monarch butterflies, their black and gold wings fluttering majestically as they hovered over a patch of blue and yellow wildflowers along the creek bed. It's pretty romantic.
Evan...
oh, sorry.
It's a capital E and an EV...
Even the trickling brown creek looked pretty on the bright day. Tiny white gnats sparkled like diamonds in the sunlight over the shimmering water. Evan kicked at the fallen tree branch. Everything looked dark to him today. Dark and ugly.
It just wasn't fair, he grumbled, kicking the branch again. It wasn't a fair tryout. Mr. Murphy should have cut off their shins so they're the same height as me, because that makes sense, because the world's fair.
Yeah, that's what I think he should have said. In reality, he said,
it wasn't a fair tryout. Mr. Murphy should have given me a better chance.
Andy tisked, her eyes on the sparkling creek. Someone should teach Mr. Murphy a lesson. Evan said. I wish I could think of some way of paying him back. I really do. Andy turned to him. A devilish grin crossed her face. I have a plan, she said softly. A really neat plan.
What is it?
Evan demanded.
Chapter number 13, yeah.
What's your idea? Evan demanded again. Andy grinned at him. She was wearing a long lime green t-shirt over a day glow orange t-shirt, pulled over baggy blue shorts. Wow, I thought I fucked that one up, but she was just wearing two shirts. The sunlight made all the color so bright, Evan felt like shielding his eyes.
You might not like it, Andy said coyly.
Try me, Evan replied. Come on, don't keep me in suspense.
Well, her eyes wandered over to the tree where they had buried the monster blood.
It has to do with the
monster blood, she said reluctantly. He swallowed hard.
That's okay. Go on. Well, it's a pretty simple plan. First, we dig up
the monster blood, Andy said, watching his reaction.
Yeah? Then, we take some to school, she continued.
Yeah?
Then, we feed it to Cuddles. Evan's mouth dropped open because, unlike Dune, he had not seen the cover of this book.
Just a little bit, Andy quickly replied.
We feed Cuddles a tiny glob of it, just enough to make him the size of a dog.
Evan laughed. It was a terrible idea, a truly evil idea, but he loved it.
He slapped Andy on the back.
You're bad, Andy, he cried. You're really bad.
Andy grinned proudly.
I know.
Evan laughed again. Can you see the look on Murphy's face when he comes in and sees his precious little hamster has grown as big as a cocker spaniel? What a riot!
So, you'll do it?
Evan's smile faded.
I guess, he replied thoughtfully.
If you promise, we'll only use a tiny bit and we'll bury the rest right away.
Promise, Andy said, just enough to play our little joke on Mr. Murphy. Then we'll never use the stuff again.
Okay, Evan agreed. They shook hands solemnly. Then they hurried to the tree. Evan searched the entire park, squinting against the bright sunlight. He wanted to make sure no one was spying on them this time. When he was sure the park was empty, he and Andy dropped their knees under the tree and began scooping the dirt off the hole with their hands.
They had dug nearly to China!
Oh, sorry, they had dug nearly 2 feet down when they realized the hole was empty.
The monster blood!
Evan cried.
It's gone!
And so concludes part one of Monster Blood 2 on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
What?
I seriously think I should start reading Goosebumps books, like, starting at chapter 14, or just read part two. Like, figure out where it's starting, and then go to the sad Goosebumps Wikia page, and go through and just read, like, the first two paragraphs of plot description, because they really say nothing. But, I don't know. Whatever, I'm gonna keep these up. So, thanks to everyone who messaged me on Twitter at Twitter/Dan, or the Dune Reads Goosebumps Facebook, or the email. I tend to get back to those fucking really quick now. Like, within an hour, always. Most of the time. So hit me up. You know, we'll talk about Goosebumps or something. I don't fucking know. That being said, for Scarlet the Cat and Yoda the Cat and Mr. Franklin the Cat. Oh, he's a dog. He's a dog. I'm sorry, Franklin. Ah, don't mean to clown on you like that. And myself, this is Dune Reads Goosebumps. Stay spooky, bitches.